And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Happy Saturday. Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. We have the wonderful Jesse Haynes on the show today. If it is your first time here, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Go check us out on our socials, Instagram, Facebook, the Tickety Talkie. We're going to be doing much more with the Tickety Talk in 2024. So keep your eyes peeled for that. If you can hear in the background, there is emergency medical response vehicles coming through. We are about to head into Dalton and the Sheriffs here at the House of Blues in Boston. So we will talk about that at a later date. But anyway, I got sidetracked. So thank you again so much for being here. Jesse Haynes, this conversation is one of those, I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't anticipate us having much to talk about. And I was pleasantly surprised. This is one of my favorite conversations I've had all year. I learned a lot. In this episode, a lot about her journey. I loved it. Again, heard things I did not expect, and I'm pleasantly surprised about it. So, you know what? A big thank you to Jesse for coming on and doing the damn thing. We had a few moments where we were having technical difficulties. This episode happened over feels like 3 days, but it was like two. Yeah, long story short, she's here and we're excited. So thank you. If you're new to the program, like I said, socials is where to go. Bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is the website. We've dumped out a bunch of episodes this week. Bunch of stuff. We're kind of cleaning house to start fresh in 24. So season 9 starts on Tuesday. Damn. Season 9? We've done episode 200. We've had a hell of a year. We were named number 2 country podcast based on streams and social media buzz and all that. So thank you for that. It's cool shit, man. So without further ado, our conversation with Jesse Haynes. We hope you enjoy. Happy Saturday, and we'll see you on the flip side. Enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Are we on?
We're on. We're rocking. We're rolling. It's, you know, third time's the charm, hopefully.
I think it's only the second time.
No, it's I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. It is the third time, technically.
How are you, Jesse?
I'm great. I'm here in Nashville, finally again.
Atta girl.
In my spot here. And, yeah, I'm just happy to be here. It's good for me to be back.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we're glad to have you finally on the show here. Thank you for taking the time. And like I said to you the other day, we're just gonna shoot the shit. We're gonna learn about you, and we're gonna have fun.
Right.
Yeah. So tell us. I know this is cliche, and I hate this, but who are you? What are you doing? What's going on?
Wow, that's an existential question to start.
Right. Why are we here?
Why are we here on this? Oh my gosh, we don't have enough time to answer that question right now.
I guess, yeah.
I am a singer-songwriter, and I just released my debut album called The Phoenix. It got released in full on October 27th of this year. And yeah, thank you. It's been a long time coming. I've been a musician for my whole life, but a couple years ago, I really felt like I needed to really push hard and pursue, you know, my original songwriting. And so I actually recorded the whole album in New Jersey, and I have a great producer there, Chris Badami. And yeah, we did it like on a small budget. I'm fully independent, so doing everything myself with my tribe. And we recorded two music videos this past year and released them. They're out on YouTube.
That's awesome.
I'm just really proud of the work, you know. It's
as you should be. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it. And it's such an interesting position now, because I'm like, well, now what?
I
gotta write more songs, you know?
Where do I go?
I was actually looking back, like I record a lot of my, you know, sort of like melody ideas into my voice notes, like a lot of musicians do. You know, you're in the car, you're on a hike or whatever, and stuff just kind of pops into your head. And I was actually listening back to that, to a lot of those recordings on my drive here to Nashville, and I got pretty pumped, because in the moment you're like, I don't know if this is anything, but turns out I have actually a lot of really good ideas. So
that's great.
Yeah. So now it's just for the rest of the year, it's really just all about, you know, fleshing out those songs and making them full, you know, full song creations. And then I think, you know, it's interesting being an indie, because there's no one telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And it could be a little kind of like freaky, because you're like, well, the world, the universe is my oyster, and no one's telling me what to do. So
sure,
I have the freedom to do whatever I want, and B, I also have the responsibility to figure it out on my own, you know? And so it's like really a double-edged sword, but mostly good. And so, you know, this first album was a full studio album, like a full production. Like, we really went all out, and it's got, you know, banjo and lap steel and fiddle, and it can be pretty rock and roll at times. And I think what I'm missing from like my experience so far as an indie artist is, I'm kind of going to go like backwards in the sound regard and actually just put out like all acoustic next year.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's some artists that I follow, that I just really appreciate seeing the behind the scenes of, you know, their videos of them like writing a song in their bedroom, and then, you know, and they record it right there, and then they put it out on Spotify. And I think there's really something to that, there's like a soulful, like unadulterated, like user experience from a fan perspective, you know. And I'm a music fan too, of course. Like, I've been following Josiah and the Bonnevilles, and I've just really, and he's had kind of a really long road with his career, and had a bunch of different major label deals or record label deals, and then decided to kind of like go out on his own. And you know, most of the music that he put out last year was just like all acoustic, crafted in his room. And I, along with many other people, like, I just really appreciated following along in his journey in that regard. And it makes you feel, you know, just close to him and close to his process. And I think for me, that's kind of like the missing piece that I just kind of want to get all the way back down to, like, where it starts, which is always just me and the guitar.
Right.
And so that's what my soul is telling me to do next, is just to keep it you know, just to keep it solo and just make it about me and the guitar and the songs. It's really all about the songs. Like, I'm not an artist. And I don't think I'll ever be an artist who, like, if I could do this without having any kind of spotlight, that's the road that I would choose.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't get off on, like, you know, on like any idea of like any kind of fame. I just want to make good songs and good music. And I actually love to sing the songs myself, and I love to perform them. Like, performance is one of my favorite things to do.
Sure.
If not my number one favorite thing to do. And so I don't know, kind of like a Chris Stapleton methodology. Like, you just know it's just all about the music, you know? So yeah, that's kind of where my heart lies, is really just focusing on making the best songs that I could make and the best recordings I could make and putting on the best performances I can. And that's what makes me happy.
That's great. You know, I love that you said that about, you know, doing this without any kind of fame to it or noticeability, right? Because I think that might be the most honest answer we've ever gotten out of somebody about that. You know, because I ask all the time, like, you know, if you, you know, as a singer-songwriter, would you be okay if, like, you just did the songwriting portion? And, yeah. You know, always, it's always like, oh, I love the, you know, I love the, you know, getting up on stage and all that. And, like, that may be true for you as well. But,
yeah,
you know, like, nobody ever is like, I could just write the songs and be okay.
You know what
I mean? And I always think that response is such a bullshit answer. You know, I really do. Because it's like, there's not everybody wants to be that. You know, you know, especially when you talk to people that are songwriters for, like, you know, bigger acts, and it's like, mm-hmm. why don't, you know, you're making money hand over fist. Why not just do that? You know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people aren't like, I love performance, and that's why I am taking this road that I'm taking.
Sure.
And I mean, some songwriters just don't, you know, songwriters love crafting a song and they just don't love performance, or they know that, like, their vocal performance won't do the song the best justice.
Sure.
You know? So then they pass it on to somebody else, who could, like, enhance it and make it better.
Right.
I think I write lots of different kinds of songs. Some of the songs I'm like, I don't think this is actually for me. Some songs I write aren't even in, like, the country, pop, rock, folk genre. Sometimes I come up with an idea that I'm like, this could be like a Rihanna song.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a road that I think I want to, you know, there's kind of like, there's folders, you know?
Sure.
And you're not in charge of what comes out. You know, like, I'm not here to craft the song but just by myself. It's actually, here we're gonna get existential here and spiritual, dude. But I, like, my experience has always been like, the song just comes to me, and it's my job to just not fight it off and just, like, let it come through however it wants to.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes I like what comes out. Sometimes I'm like, I don't love that, but, you know, that's where we get the power to decide what we're going to, you know, use and not. But yeah, this last album was, like, very, if you listen to it front to back, and if you've ever been in a difficult relationship, then you really feel like you got your hair blown back. Like, it definitely covers a lot of tough topics.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of the songs are really fun. Some of the songs are pretty carefree. Some of the songs are masquerading as fun and carefree, but actually, if you, like, dig deeper, you'll hear and learn that there's kind of like a deeper messaging in there, or kind of like a more serious, like, topic kind of hidden in there.
Sure.
But it was really all about, you know, I had a very difficult relationship, and that I'm no longer involved with. And, you know, just follows the arc in real time of that relationship. And so, like, you know, my songs are my diary, right? So, mm-hmm. and it's the tool that I've always used to, like, deal with emotions and kind of, like, cycle them out of my body, you know? And what I found has been really, really amazing. Like, you know, Spotify and the internet is just such a powerful tool. And actually there's an individual in Spain who actually got my album cover tattooed on her forearm. Like, huge.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So, like, you don't realize when you're starting this kind of a project, like, the effect that it's going to have on other humans, like, on this earth that you've never met. And it's just, like, such a powerful thing that I'm very, 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 very grateful for.
Wow. That's incredible. You know, especially being a, you know, an indie artist, you know, and having, you know, still being able to have that sort of reach. And, you know, again, back to Spotify and other, you know, music services, right? Where people can, wherever they are, get those things that they might not have, you know, even 10, 15 years ago.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, so it's huge.
It is huge. And it's, I think a lot of artists have a lot of complaints about Spotify and everything else, but, like, either they weren't born or they're forgetting what it was like when there was no, Spotify. Like, you know, back in the day, like, bands used to must get in a van and, like, go from town to town to town performing, sometimes for two people, just to get their music out there, you know? And now it's like, you can argue it both ways. There is a lot more noise, and there's a lot more, I don't know, like, I hate to use the word competition, but competition for people's attention and for, you know, to kind of, like, show up in front of their face. There's definitely more artists out there, but, like, it's infinitely more possible to get your music in front of people now than it ever was. So I just really appreciate, like, this time. I think it's such a music era right now where, like, the power is actually in the artist's hands, and I can see it. I mean, you can see it, you know, with, like, a lot of, you know, newer country artists and individuals who are selling out stadiums, you know, with no label. Like, that, like, what? It's awesome. It's really, really awesome. And in a matter of, like, you know, 1 to 4 years of ever putting their first song out, they're doing stadium tours.
Yeah.
And, you know, and most of that is really just the power of them being able to be their most authentic self and get in front of fans, you know, and the fans will lift you. Like, I've seen it. Like, the fans, if they like what you're doing, they will share you and bubble you up to the top.
Yeah. Oh, they sure will. They sure will. There's a huge power in fans, you know, especially the ones that, you know, some may see as obsessive and crazy, you know, but those are the ones that are pushing and pushing and pushing and doing it because they love it. Did I lose you? Hello? Jesse? Jesse, why don't the gods want us to talk?
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center, again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates, numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
Hello. I'm telling you, the powers to be don't want to chat.
What? It's the same thing as last time. I could hear you totally fine. I don't suddenly just stop being able to hear me. I don't understand it.
But. It's weird. Do you have T-Mobile by chance?
No, I have Verizon.
Huh. Because I've noticed that with T-Mobile, it's sometimes that it does that quite a bit. But anyway, we're back. But yeah, like I was saying, you know, the power of the fans to just spread the word is just, you know, it really sometimes makes the difference.
Yeah, I think it always makes a difference. And I think that there's no amount of like marketing that a label could do to like facilitate or simulate that relationship that an artist can have directly with the fans now, you know?
Right. And, oh, yeah. Not in this lifetime or the next. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I've also noticed that, you know, I don't know if anybody else talks about this, but I'm just going to go ahead and talk about it. It's from an artist perspective, I think the work now is getting to a position within yourself as the artist where you can be the most pure version of your artist self that you can be.
Right.
And that is what
it works. Sorry. Not,
well,
not to
that's
cut you off.
What that's no, that's okay. It's just, it's like, that is what the fans want now. Yes. And it's like really beautiful and really refreshing. And I'll even say for myself, it's sometimes very difficult to, for us, the individual, the artist, to like get past our own ego sometimes. You know, and like, 100%. Yeah, and like get to a position where you're in your most pure artist state. Like, I actually don't even think I've gotten there yet. Not even close. You know. There's this like generation of artists like Noah Kahn, and you know, like Maggie Rogers, and you know, there's like this innate ability to just be super pure and like basically not give a fuck what anybody thinks. It's like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm singing. These are my lyrics. I'm not here to craft this to make anybody happy. Like, this is like the most genuine, pure, you know, piece of artwork that I'm able to create. It doesn't matter if I have makeup on. I don't care if I'm recording this in my pajamas. You know, it's just like about being super, super authentic. And I'll be honest with you, like getting to that pure position has been historically like pretty difficult for me because, you know, I'm a human person. And I'm like, sure. Sometimes there's like fear, like, oh shit, what if, you know, what if this sucks? What if somebody doesn't like it? Or what if this doesn't work? Or, you know, what if I look ugly today or whatever? And it's like, you know, there's, you know, we're not superheroes. And I think from an artist perspective today, like that's really the job. Like the job is to get to the most pure channel that you can be. And I see that the artists who are able to do that well and honestly are the ones who like are really taking off now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, the more authentic you are to yourself, you know, I think the better the music is too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the music is better and, you know, like you said, the consumer sees it and that's what they want. They want real authenticity in their music. They don't want, you know, the regurgitated, you know, Nashville quote unquote sound.
Yeah, you can see it. I mean, it's clear as day. Like it's clear as day what the fans today want. And like I don't blame them. Of course they should want pure, authentic, real music from the heart, you know? That's the way it's meant to be. It's the way it was in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, like there was music in the set, there were like no rules. It was the most authentic sound, you know, that people could make was what flew.
Right.
And then in the 80s and 90s and then definitely in the 2000s, like the major labels took over, everything became super packaged, everything was plastic, And that worked for a while because it was like shiny and plastic and new and, you know, like super polished. But I think that that got tired. You know, I think people just got tired of like the fakeness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it sucks because it's like that fake polishness like caught fire, you know, caught fire, worked out really well for, you know, a really long time.
Right.
And really up until I would say the last probably, you know, 5-6 years and, you know, on a mainstream level. And now with, you know, I think not to beat a dead horse, but it goes back to Spotify and these other channels where you can find literally whatever you're looking for.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a consumer, they're blowing up these people that, you know, in line with whatever they want to hear or whatever they think or whatever they feel, you know, I think you're going to be hard pressed to, you know, in today's climate, find anybody that's, you know, feeling, you know, whatever, whatever the latest, you know, Luke Bryan tune is, you know, because it sounds like the last Luke Bryan tune.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, like those kinds of, that kind of vibe, like there's a time and a place for it.
Sure. Yeah,
but I don't know. I have opinions about, about like top 40 country genre
that I'm gonna
keep to myself on this podcast.
No, it's totally fine. There's nothing you could say here that nobody else has said. You know what I mean?
It's just like, I don't want to be the one to write the songs that sound like every single other song that's already been written.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, and it's actually a really weird space to be in because as an artist and like a singer-songwriter, like the sound that I really want to do is this, there's this space that exists right now that like I don't really see anybody in, and it's like where Sheryl Crow was in her heyday and like Bonnie Raitt, you know.
Yeah.
Like where's the female singer songwriter who plays the guitar who's like in this sort of like pop country rock soul space. I think it's me.
Yeah, no, it 100% is you.
I think it's me. I just gotta keep pushing forward, yeah. I mean, that's kind of like my whole deal. So I think that answers your question on who I am.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. You know, and it's a tricky, you know, space to be in when you're, you know. I fucking hate talking cliche, but it's like, there's still that level of, you know, bias when it comes to men versus women, especially mm-hmm. in country music. And, yeah. You know, because I mean, I have my thoughts and opinions on it. You know, I think it's because the women have been way more talented than the men, you know, in the last decade or so, you know, but like, and all the guys, they all sound the same, but the girls don't. You know, there's, you know, they have their elements of similarity. You know, that's just mm-hmm. the nature of the beast. But, you know, every dude on country radio, except for maybe 3 or 4, all sound the same.
Right. Right. I agree.
You know?
I don't know, man. I think it's like, again, I think it has to do with, I think it has to do with FM radio. Country radio is, you know, they have deep connections with the majors, and the majors keep signing, you know, handsome young men who, you know, who the girls will love and the guys will, you know, admire. And that's been the system.
Right. You
know, that's been the system. But like somebody like Sheryl Crow when she was really, I mean, I feel like I am not only am I a big fan of hers, but you know, there was really no like network for her, and there's still not. Like she's still kind of like always in her on her own page.
Right.
You know, and I kind of feel like that because I'm like, where do I actually don't feel like I belong anywhere. And that's been something I've had to grapple with lately because there's such a sense of like, you want to feel like you belong in a tribe, you know, yeah. Like I want to feel like I belong, you know, with this artist and that artist and this artist and that artist. But on the other hand, I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's actually a really good thing that I am, you know, kind of crafting my own lane right now.
Right.
Because technically, like, there's really not many people in my space. And I'm not reinventing the wheel by any stretch. I'm doing what Michelle Branch did 20 years ago. Like, singer songwriter. Like, whatever. Where did all the singer songwriters go that, like, it's singer songwriter I have a lot of different genres that kind of weave in, and there's definitely a lot of soul and there's definitely pop, but it's not exactly like I have actually put the label of like country pop on it, but it's really not supposed to be country pop. I think it's really in that, like, if country was cool 20 years ago, like in New York City, I think like all you had to do was put some Lap Steel on Michelle Branch's, you know, first albums, and like it would have been country music.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it would have been today's country music, right? Which is like, so anyway, that's kind of my road. I'm just like really excited to see what happens next. Like anybody else, I don't even know what happens next. You know, I don't know that what the next song I'm gonna write today or tomorrow is. It could be like my biggest hit of all time, you know? So I'm in the same position, you know, as artists, I think we're like always in the same position as everybody else. Like, I don't know where this goes or what happens next. I'm just trusting God and, you know, following his lead, really.
Right. Right. No, I get you and I agree with you 100%. You know, and it's funny because it's like I hear the enthusiasm and the love you have for all of this in your voice, and it's like, you know, it's people like you that kind of, you know, give me hope for music as a whole, you know, where, you know, you've been hearing about it a lot, especially, you know, when you're in the setting that I'm in, right, where it's, you know, well, where's country radio going? What's, you know, is country radio dying? You know, this, that, the other thing. And I think the answer is yes. You know, I think, you know, because you, like we keep talking about, right? You go on and you see these artists that aren't getting radio play that are still, you know, selling out rooms, big and small.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, we said it before, like 20 years ago, that doesn't happen. 10 years ago, that doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, we have, you know, men and women in what I call real country music that are doing the damn thing. And, you know, having a better go at it than, you know, and I probably shouldn't say this out loud being a CMA member, but like, you know, doing things better than, you know, the people I can vote for in the CMA are doing.
Right. Yeah. Yep, I agree. I would agree with that.
You got me on a soapbox here, Jesse.
I love you on a soapbox. Yeah. Well, I was on a soapbox before, so no, it's yeah. I totally agree with you, and I just think it's a great place for artists. It's a great time for artists right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think like, yeah, okay, it sucks that you can get like a billion spins on Spotify and, you know, make $4. That part sucks, but if you're getting a billion spins on Spotify, you have touring, so you know, so it's like, which is better than what it was 10 years ago, like you said, like there was no you didn't have touring if you didn't have, there was no Spotify, so that therefore there was no touring, so your only hope back then was to get a label deal. That was like your only prayer was to get a label deal. So at least now, if you get a billion spins on Spotify, then you're touring and you're doing fine. So like, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
It's like, so and you're doing merch and you're doing, like all in sync licensing and all that. So it's like, no matter what, there's always somebody who's unhappy, but it's definitely, in my opinion, it's definitely the most exciting time for musicians. So,
Right. I mean, and you really think about it, like we have the best, probably the best example, when we're talking about women in the last 5 years, with somebody like Lainey Wilson, really, it's only really been within the last 24 months or so that anybody even cared about who Lainey Wilson was. And she's always just done her thing. She just, got lucky and caught lightning in a bottle. And I say lucky not because she wasn't talented or isn't talented, but she got lucky and caught the right eye and was able to get on the radio. Like there's a lot of, I love Lainey, don't get me wrong, but there are 1.5 million other women that I could go through in country music right now that aren't getting radio play that should be.
Yeah, I think for something like that, it's there's so many different elements that come together. Like I saw her live show at Brooklyn Bowl in Nashville, and she had 2 nights there, I think. And she's a tremendous performer and a tremendous, front woman, and the energy was there, and the show was tight, and she knew how to talk to her crowd, and there's just like such a level of professionalism that exists there just from work ethic and practice. Like as a performer myself, like you can be a great singer and hit all the notes, but maybe your crowd interaction needs work, or maybe you need to know how to, use the whole stage better, write your choreography into your set list a little better. And by choreography, I don't even.
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fare and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com.
It's like every 15 minutes. Here we are.
Well, I hope you have a good needle and thread to stitch all these together.
Don't worry about it. We'll make it sound like nothing even happened.
Anyway, what was I saying before? I think like the greatest part of the music industry today for both men and women, and I think this is true in all genres, it's like the people, the artists who stay are really the ones who deserve to stay. Like anybody could have a song on the radio. I had a song on the radio last year. And anybody could have a song on the radio, anybody could get their shot, but and I don't even know this from experience because I'm new. I'm definitely the new kid on the block, or one of very many new kids on the block, trying just like everybody else is to, make it to the top. But I see that the artists who really stick around really, really earned it,
Oh, yeah.
really, really, truly, from the songwriting, from performance, from the talent that it takes to do the job of being famous. Like that's a whole job on its own that has nothing to do with being a musician.
Right.
Like being a musician is sit down in a studio and with a guitar or piano and write a song. That's being a musician. Being doing interviews and red carpet and photo shoots and music videos and like that's the job of being a celebrity, and like that's a whole job
Yeah.
that's totally separate from being a musician, with like its own totally separate skill set. You know, there's a lot of musicians out there who are tremendous musicians, but terrible in front of a camera.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yep. And you know what? That we've had them on here, mm-hmm. you know, where we, you know, it's like, wow, these songs are really good. And then like you talk to that person, you're like, well, it's like a wet towel.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in there? Like, hello, right. You know, and it's like disheartening because it's like this person has all of these listens, but can't hold a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm here to hold a conversation with you anytime you want, Jim.
No, and you're awesome. You're awesome at it. You know, it's a breath of fresh air. You know,
I love talking. I could talk about music and the music industry like 24/7, honestly. I mean, I love it. I think first of all, I mean, I have a pretty objective opinion about this, but you have a music podcast, so maybe you agree. I personally think music is the most powerful art form that exists. I'm sorry for all of the fine artists and the painters out there, but like music and the dancers and like, okay, like I appreciate all of the art, all art forms, but I do think that music and songs specifically like really have the most potent healing power and the most potent power to move humans.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you 100%. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, with all the bullshit that there is in the world, you know, like this is the one thing that, you know, you could put on a song and regardless of where you are or who you're with or, you know, what part of the world they're from, like there's a level of connection that you can have regardless of whether you like that certain type of music or not.
Yeah, or even if you understand the language or not.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. Music, there's just something that music pumps into your soul like nothing else.
Exactly, and that's why I'm obsessed with it. I just think it's the most powerful healing tool that we have. And I think it's the universal language for sure. And yeah. I think the music industry itself is a wild and fascinating place.
It really is. You know, and like the industry, I think the industry part though is also super out of touch to an extent too. Like, you know, that it, especially in country music, where it doesn't have to fit in a box for people to like it.
There are some people I've met here in Nashville in the music industry who are starting to understand that that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's the majority, but you know, the quote unquote suits in the music industry, and it's true in New York too. Like it's always kind of like behind like the majors and sort of like the folks who are driving the ship in big tall office buildings in the music industry, that is always like 2 years behind what's actually happening on like the indie scene.
Right.
You know? And
yep.
You know, I've already brought up, you know, Noah Kahn and Josiah, but like I think they're just like two great examples of that, you know, of like
yeah.
things that don't exactly fit in a box. Like Noah Kahn's a, you know, a good looking guy, but he's not a supermodel.
Right. And he's not even country music, depending on who you ask.
And he's not even, right. Well, that's my point is like, you know, there, the indie scene is sort of like carving out this whole other world of, you know, folk singer songwriter. That's arguably like becoming way bigger than top 40, you know, yeah. radio country now. Like that yep. almost feels like yesterday's news right now.
Yeah, 100%. You know, when somebody like Noah, is it Kahan or is it Kahn?
I say Kahn, but I'm not sure if that's I'm pronouncing.
I don't know. I don't know either. And he only lives down the street from where we are. So, right. You know, look at me giving a shit. You know, but like when somebody like that can sell out a, you know, a summer tour and really with very little radio play.
Right.
You know, there's something there, you know, and, you know, now he's going to be on SNL. He's, you know, he's doing all these things with, again, without that, you know, radio play. I mean, he's getting nominated for awards and stuff, but, and again, without radio play.
Dude, it's all about the songs, man. It's right? all about the songs.
I mean,
that's why I love these artists, because it's not about like being a supermodel or having like, muscles or whatever. It's like, it's all about the songs and about being a pure vessel and like just a genuine songwriter and a singer. And like, that's for me, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's pointing in the right direction of what the fans want. And I'm so happy that that's what they want now.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, you know, cause even you think about it, right. You think about somebody like, like Sturgill Simpson, right. I don't remember when it was, but he, you know, he plays outside the CMAs with his guitar case open and his Grammy and his thing, and nobody knows who he is.
Right.
You know, he's probably one of the biggest, you know, even at the time, one of the biggest names in country music, if you're paying attention.
Wow. Yep.
You know, it's wild. It's shit like that blows my mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. You know, Sturgill, Tyler, you know, they're not getting bombarded by radio, and they're selling out everywhere they go.
Right. Yes. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased with a lot of things, which, you know, could very well be the case. But, you know, I don't buy into the bullshit, to be honest with you. I really just don't. I don't do it.
Well, that's good. I don't either.
You know, you can't, you know, that whatever's getting forced fed down your, you know, your throat, you know, you're always going to be like, well, why is this getting pushed on me? You know, but anyway,
I know we're both digressing, but yeah. Okay. So let's recap. The music industry is in a good place, regardless of what the cranky people want to say about it.
The state of country music is fine.
It's a great time for artists.
Yeah.
Somebody tell Sheryl Crow that I will gladly open for her. And, and we're gonna keep writing songs, and I'm gonna put them out acoustic because I want to connect again with myself, with my songwriting, and, you know, with the fans who, again, like, you know, want the bullshit out of the way. Not that like having a produced studio album is bullshit. That's not what I mean. But I just mean it'd be a nice departure for me to kind of come out a little more raw.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So for, you know, your album came out in October. Now, is there anything that you have recorded that could go out tomorrow if it needed to?
Not something new? No, but now that I'm back in my apartment in Nashville and I've got my Neumann here, I do plan on taking the next couple of weeks and fleshing out these songs that I've been working on and just like really putting them together and see what I've got. Which I'm just like really excited to do. And that's kind of the plan. I also have some covers that I've been dying to do. A Bruce Springsteen. I'm not going to tell you all of them because I'm going to put them out next year, but so, you know, the artists who shaped me,
awesome.
The artists who I listen to, who I admire so much, whose songs shaped me as a songwriter. And so like, you know, paying a little homage to them will make me feel happy.
I love it. I love that so much.
Yeah.
It's great. I love what you're doing. I think you have, you know, the world is really your oyster at this point. You know, you're doing it the right way. You're being you, you know, and that's what all this is about, is just being who you are.
Yeah. Well, that's the journey.
Yeah. That right. And if you and if you're not going to be who you are, like what the fuck's the point?
That is the journey, is,
you know,
figuring out how to be the most of who you are. That's the journey. That's the journey. So I love talking to you, Jim. I'll talk to you any old time.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Same here. Now, before they probably kick us off again, because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, what's your Boots and Whiskey of choice, Jesse?
Oh, I'm actually wearing these. I'm wearing vintage boots right now that I got here in Nashville. Let me see. They're like literally from the 70s. I don't even know who makes them. I'm looking at the bottom. Dan something. I don't know. They're old. They're vintage. They're from the 70s. So I'm wearing these right now. Whiskey, I'd have to go with a bourbon. I don't even I'm drawing a blank on all my bourbons because I haven't been drinking lately, but if we're sitting down for a drink, it's going to be a bourbon on the rocks.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, next time we're in Nashville, if you're there, we're getting together and having a drink, that's for sure. Damn it, did we lose it?
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. Cheers.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
I just wanted to say bye.
I want to re-record my bourbon answer because I thought of my favorite bourbon, which is
okay. That's totally fine. Totally fine. So what did you figure out? What did you remember?
Oh yeah. So my favorite bourbon is a bourbon called High West, and ooh, they have this smoky. I don't remember the exact name of it, but it's like, I think it might be actually called Campfire. But it is so smoky and so, so, so good.
Nice. So, you know, I haven't had High West yet. I need to try it.
Yeah, the smoky, I'm gonna find the name of it, but, I literally think it's called Campfire by High West. And I think they're out of Utah. I found them when I was skiing in Utah. They're from Colorado or Utah or something like that. But
that's something you'll never hear me say in my entire life.
What, skiing?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, I know. I'm never saying, I'm saying no to skiing.
Oh, wow. You're missing out.
No, I don't even like snow, let alone.
Dude, there's nothing better than being in the mountains in the snow. Oh my gosh. It's so, so, so beautiful, dude. Just take the gondola up and like get the views.
But then how the hell do I get back down?
Oh, you take the gondola down.
Okay.
You little scary cat.
Fine.
Are you in Nashville or are you on the?
No, I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, do you get out to Nashville ever?
I've been once. I went for my honeymoon, and I haven't been back, and that was 5 years ago now.
Okay, well, come back. It's awesome.
It's time to go back and do some things, I think.
Hell yeah, dude! You're running a country podcast, so you might as well come visit.
I might as well, but I want to go like during the week, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
I don't want to be there while all the bachelorette parties are there and stupid shit's going on.
Yeah, we'll go catch a good show at the Ryman, man.
Yeah, I got it. That's a, you know, we were gonna, not the, when we were there, the Ryman had some like EDM show or some shit. Like I'm pretty sure I heard Johnny blow around in his urn when I saw that poster.
Oh yeah, there's like no country music in Nashville anymore.
No, it's
like...
unbelievable. It's unreal. You know, we were gonna go to the day we took the tour of the Opry. I don't remember who was on the bill, but Rascal Flatts was also on the bill.
Cool.
And we were like, oh, maybe, you know, let's, what the hell? But like tickets were like super expensive, and like the only, at the time, the only artist we knew or recognized was Rascal Flatts, and I was like, I'm not spending $75 to see Rascal Flatts play three songs. Not doing it.
Yep. I agree with you, but dude, honestly, like all of my, was it the Opry that you're talking about?
Yeah.
All my Opry experiences so far have been awesome.
Like, oh yeah, no. I
even if you don't know anybody, like you'll get your boots blown off. Like it's like the artistry is just usually very, very, very dialed in.
Yeah,
there.
I want to go. You know, I think I want to go when like somebody I've known or somebody I have interviewed makes their Opry debut.
I got to see Carrie Underwood at the Opry. That was great.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like a special occasion or something. She blows through there pretty often, but she's really, really good. Like she deserves all of the accolades that she has earned. Like she is a tremendous performer.
Yeah, I would love to see her one of these days just to say I did, you know, honestly, because again, I agree. She's a powerhouse.
One of the best. She's such a diva. One of the best. Like beyond, but like honestly, her attention to detail vocally is beyond. It really is.
Yeah, not bad for an idol contestant.
No, not bad. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got a lot of good ones out of those shows too.
We did. So. Speaking of those kind of shows, did you ever try out for any of those?
No. But I do have a gentleman who's sort of managing me right now, and he's sort of like urging me to do it.
Nice.
So I don't know. I might do it. We'll see.
You know, you gotta do you, dude.
Yeah.
Gotta do you. Well, Jesse, thanks for jumping back on for the 800th time in this, you know, this attempt at talking to you.
Thanks for making the time for me, and
oh hell yeah,
I look forward to doing it again.
Same here. Like I was saying that you could hear me, and but you couldn't respond. Next time we're in Nashville, we're gonna we'll get in, I'll shoot you a text and see if you're there.
Yeah, hit me up for sure. That'd be so fun.
We'll do it up. Cool.
All right, awesome, man. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's Hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com. All right. Well, there you have it, everybody. Our conversation with Jesse Haynes. Jesse again. Girl, you are welcome here anytime. I love what you're doing. I love your story. I love the back and forth. You're the best. I absolutely adore you. Thank you so much for taking the time today to be on the show. And we greatly, greatly appreciate you. If you haven't heard Jesse's stuff, go check it out. You know, now that you've heard the story, go listen to the music. That's how we do it here. In case you haven't figured it out, you know, we don't bullshit here. This is the real deal. Unlike a lot of other country music publications, we don't mix words. We don't hold back. So thank you. You know, here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. Thank you guys so much for a wonderful 2023. And here's to 2024. Until next time, until we see you next time, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass, y'all. Cheers.